It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has announced the overhaul of the Resource Management Act, or RMA, which will be replaced by two different bills, the Planning Bill and the Natural Environment Bill. The RMA is set to be fully replaced by 2029. The RMA, which has been in effect for 34 years, is polarising across the political spectrum. In announcing the reforms, RMA Reform Minister Chris Bishop says that pretty much everything will be quicker and less costly under the new regime. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about this overhaul of the RMA. We also discussed the Education and Workforce Committee's interim report on the harms young people experience online, with a majority recommending a ban on social media for under 16-year-olds. But first, we discussed the overhaul of the RMA. To start, what are these two bills and what do they aim to do?
Well, there are two bills because the Resource Management Act mixes up environmental management and land use planning and development. And while that seemed like a good idea in the 1980s when we had concepts like sustainable development and integrated land use planning and resource management driving the RMA, actually it hasn't worked. In the end, what we've done is just slow down development while arguing over the minute details of environmental management, particularly for things we already know how to do well, like clearing land for subdivision, putting in drainage, and building bridges and rivers over rivers and so on. All of these things have taken years to continue to relitigate. So what we're doing is separating out planning and development. A separate planning bill will be read tomorrow in the House for the first time, and a separate natural environment bill. And you know, that means we can set environmental limits and create a system for allocating resources separate to planning and permitting land use, like subdivision and industries and infrastructure. It's going to really simplify the way that we do development in New Zealand.
How do you feel, especially as the Undersecretary for RMA Reform, how do you feel about these changes?
Well, I'm very proud of the work that we've done to get these changes into legislation. My background is 25 years in civil engineering and project management, including working on landfills for 6 years and really dealing with the most difficult environmental issues in New Zealand. So I'm really proud as a former civil engineer and also as an ACT MP to be able to deliver a legislation that's going to uphold property rights but also protect the environment in a meaningful way that people can understand when they pick up the law and read it and not have to wait for decision makers to try to work out what they think the law means every time. It's going to be far clearer through national direction and national standards what the government means when these laws are passed. So I'm really proud.
Roughly 2 years ago, we saw Labor's plans for overhauling the RMA be repealed by this current government when coming into power, despite extensive conversations with parties such as Labor and the Greens, according to RMA Reform Minister Chris Bishop. Are you concerned that, say, if the opposition are able to form a government even next year, that we will see this current government's overhaul of the RMA scrapped?
No, I'm not particularly concerned, but I am alert to things that other political parties such as Labor and the Greens might bring up during the select committee process. And I think we should be open to looking at suggested changes that come from the select committee process. But what does give me cause what does give me some heart is that Chris Hipkins, Labor leader, has said, look, it looks about 80% kind of what they would have done or what David Parker did. And what we've also heard from the Greens is that they're interested in some of the opportunities for biodiversity improvements that come through recognising explicitly that where we do need to do land clearance, say for subdivision or for other activities, that there will be a goal that says there can be no net loss in Indigenous biodiversity. So that actively drives offsetting and compensation arrangements, which currently aren't a feature of the Resource Management Act. So I think there's a lot that we can agree on, and the government will certainly be open to taking on suggestions from the private sector, from NGOs, and from other parties in Parliament.
On to our next topic, the Education and Workforce Committee has recently released their interim report on the harms young people can experience online, with a majority suggesting a ban for under 16-year-olds, such as what we are currently seeing in Australia, would be worth exploring. Despite the ACT Party having been the party to request the inquiry, the party has since submitted an alternative view. Why is this?
Well, you're right, we did call for the inquiry, and that's because there really are no simple fixes. And ACT's concern is that once you start trying to ban things like social media for under-16s, but before the evidence for how this might work has been properly tested, New Zealand risks essentially adopting policies or methods that simply don't work. And when we look at Australia, their ban has only just come into force, so there's no proof yet that it improves safety, and there's lots of questions that have been raised in Australia around privacy and enforcement and unintended consequences. So ACT's view essentially is that parents remain the primary line of defence when it comes to protecting their children from online harm, and that any government response should be proportionate, evidence-based and informed by what we learn from overseas. And that's before New Zealand moves to final decisions about what policy and regulation should look like.
The inquiry heard from a variety of individuals, including parents, as you just mentioned, social media platforms themselves, privacy experts and free speech advocates and groups. Is ACT aware of whether young people themselves were heard from in the inquiry, and if not, should they be?
Well, I didn't participate in the inquiry, but I understand that there were representatives from youth who spoke about online harm and some of their personal experiences. And you know, I understand that some of those experiences are pretty awful. So there's a clear case for government to be essentially providing some kind of framework for taking that risk down, but we haven't seen how that will work in practice in Australia. And so what ACT is saying is, look, can we just wait to see the evidence of what works, and where things work, we could adopt them. But you know, if things aren't working and there are unintended consequences, or you know, people who aren't necessarily meant to be captured by this are being captured by the adults having to provide their ID and share their personal information in order to be able to use the internet and social media, then you know, those kind of unintended consequences need to be avoided. But that's what ACT is calling for. Let's wait and see what happens in Australia, and then New Zealand can do something that actually works.
I just want to elaborate a little bit more on that point there. Another thing the inquiry is wanting is further consideration for is to learn from social media bans overseas, as we've mentioned, Australia. Ideally, what should a time frame for something like this ideally look like for ACT? Should we assess whether or not under 16-year-olds should or should not have access to social media maybe 1 year, 2 year, 2 years after Australia's ban to see if it's effective for reducing harm, for example?
Well, the question is, how would you measure a reduction in harm? So what we do know is that young people are exposed through simply having a mobile phone and having an online presence can be subject to unwanted messaging and communication, either from their peers or from adults. And so, you know, whether they're on a social media platform or whether they're actually just engaging with content that is inappropriate and harmful, there are reasons that the government should be interested in protecting young people from the risk of harm online. So how long would it take to work out whether Australia's social media ban is working? I don't know. I would have thought anything less than a year would be very difficult to see trends. So I would have thought that sometime in the next 12 to 24 months would be an appropriate time to look at what Australia has achieved and to work out what New Zealand should do next.
This may be a bit too early to say, but what are ACT expecting or maybe even hoping for from the final report?
We will just have to wait and see what the Parliamentary Select Committee comes up with. As I said, I'm not involved in that. I have heard anecdotes of some of the evidence provided to the inquiry. I understand more work is going on, that Erica Stanford has been tasked as a minister in the government with working on policy in that area. So it sounds like there's quite a few strands coming together between Parliament's inquiry and work going on in government. I would expect that at some point in the new year, we will hear more about what government intends and what the Parliamentary Select Committee thinks should be the next steps.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the government's overhaul of the RMA and the Education and Workforce Committee's interim report on young people and social media.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.